Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're here in an exciting venue in Spokane, Washington. The occasion is the ASI Annual Convention. It's 2015 when we're recording this program, and we have just got a great bunch of guests that are joining us on today's edition of American Indian Living. Across from me right now are some individuals that are involved with a very exciting project. If you are listening anywhere throughout Indian country, or even if you're not a Native American, this is an exciting new project, and yet it may sound kind of mundane when I first mention what it is. It's about a nursing school. I've got two individuals with me. First one is Lenora Follett. Lenora, you are doing something real exciting right now. Tell us your current affiliation.
You know, I just had a dream of having a nursing program like we have at Weimar that includes natural healing, natural remedies, massage, hydrotherapy, and that's what they have at Weimar. And I'm so excited to be the director of this nursing program.
Well, we want to hear more from you, Lenora, and you're getting a picture that there's a new nursing program, a very unique nursing program opening up in Northern California. Next to Lenora is one of her colleagues. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Melanie Keon, and I arrived here at Weimar three springs ago in 2013. And they were needing a faculty member for nursing to continue the process for the approval from the State Board of Registered Nursing.
Okay, so this is an accredited nursing program. Is that the correct terminology or not?
Actually, approval, state-approved
nursing
program.
Okay, a state-approved nursing program. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes through this program at Weimar Institute, they're actually eligible to sit for the boards in California?
Correct.
Okay, and Lenora, you are the program director. Is that the official title you have?
Yes, the director.
And is this like the first time you read a bunch of textbooks and you heard about a new school and they said, well, you have no experience, but we want you to head things up? Is that how it went?
No, I've been a director of nursing programs for the last 9 years.
Wow. Where all have you directed nursing programs?
Atlantic Union College. Before they closed, we had a really good nursing program there, even had 100% pass rate.
Wow.
Sometimes very high pass rates. And then Southwestern Adventist University for 4 years.
So you have this rich background in nursing administration as well as nursing training. And then, Melanie, you also have a lot of experience in nursing education, right? Tell us about that.
I had taught at Loma Linda University School of Nursing after graduating with my master's, taught there for several years, and then moved to Michigan and at Andrews Department of Nursing. I worked there in their BS completion program at the Kettering site.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that Andrews and Kettering were connected.
They were back then.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. And for some of you who are listening, if you don't know my background, I actually did my medical training at Loma Linda University, and actually did some additional master's level training at Andrews University, and I did my internal medicine training at Kettering in Ohio. So I'm really just getting acquainted with these ladies, and we're finding that we've got a lot in common as far as our backgrounds. I know you, Melanie, you and I had crossed paths before, but Lenora, I think this is our first time to meet, right?
I think so.
So tell us about this, because a lot of people say, well, there's plenty of nursing programs out there. Now, if someone listening today has wanted to get into nursing school, they may have felt like there were too few, because it's still pretty difficult to get into programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what is so unique about the program at Weimar?
The program at Weimar is approved for having lifestyle training for the nurses so that the nursing students can continue doing lifestyle training when they finish the nursing program. They're going to actually get experience in forming nurse training classes for their patients and their clients and their community where they go.
So you're not just interested in training nurses who understand disease and physiology and can...
They have to have that, too.
Well, of course. That's why I said just. And end up doing the usual pharmacotherapy, you know, giving medications under doctor's orders typically. But you're interested in actually training these nurses. Really, what I would say is a native value, and that is natural therapies, mm-hmm. More of these traditional therapies that indigenous peoples have valued. Mm-hmm. Melanie, what is your cultural background? Do you have some interest in this from your cultural roots as well?
Not necessarily from my cultural roots in terms of ethnicity, but really from my roots at Loma Linda School of Nursing. Mm-hmm. I had massage and hydrotherapy and, making poultices and doing salt glows and all of those kinds of things. Uh-huh. It slowly became less and less in the program as they evolved. And it saddened me to see that it was no longer as robust as it used to be. And so one of the things that attracted me to Weimar is that, from what I understood from the Board of Registered Nursing, is that California, as their constituents were coming to the BRN, they wanted to have nurses who knew more about this, mm-hmm. who were knowledgeable about these types of complementary medicine and health promotion lifestyle components that most nurses aren't trained in it. And so as they were hearing this need from the constituents, that's why Weimar, time-wise, was just a perfect fit for the needs and the desires of the state and what we were proposing to do in our program.
Now, this is really exciting. And for some folks that are tuning in and they don't know what we're talking about, salt glows and hydrotherapy, let's give some practical examples of things that we can talk about on the show. What could you tell someone? Someone's listening to the program today and they've got a bad cold. Are there any of these natural therapies that would help them?
Well, ever since my children were very young, and even when I was a young person, my father would always have us take very hot showers and then end with cold. And that was just routine for us, mm-hmm. and especially in the mornings. And it didn't make sense on a cold day, but he says, no, that will help close up all of your vessels and help your circulation. And so we did it. Well, as I read more and I studied more and took some classes, mm-hmm. I implemented with my children. And so if they had a temperature, I'd put them in a tub of just nice warm water, mm-hmm. cooling them off a little bit as they tolerated it, and then eventually evolved into contrast baths, tub and shower, contrasting hot and cold. Okay. And now it's just part of their routine. And when they start feeling kind of sluggish, they just get right in and take a hot shower and then go cold for about a minute and then do hot and back to cold again.
Okay, now some people are thinking this sounds barbaric. Lenora, is this a type of therapy that you've used and trained people in the past?
Yes, and just like Melanie, I was trained at Loma Linda when they had foot baths and fomentations and massage. And we had a doctor there, Dr. Butterfield, I'll never forget him. And he ordered fomentations, which are a hot pack, mm-hmm. For patients who had just had surgery to relieve their pain. And I remember some patients didn't like the idea of doing that, but once they tried it, they said, wow, that really does work.
Huh. So instead of giving narcotics, he would give a hot pack.
He would give a hot pack, and it really helped them.
So someone's listening to the show right now, and they're having issues with pain. Maybe they have a prescription for a narcotic pain reliever. Maybe they're taking an over-the-counter medication or some other prescription medication. What I hear you ladies saying is, when I tell my patients, by the way, I do educate my patients in the use of hydrotherapy, you're telling me that what I'm doing is a type of practice that you're going to be educating your nurses to be able to educate and cooperate with a physician on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, because a lot of nurses, when I'm telling my patients this, I mean, this is the first time they've heard about it.
One of the lifestyle nurses, the New Start nurses at Weimar, got some very severe back pain just after I got here. Mm. And she would try to go up to the New Start and have the contrast showers that Melanie was describing, but she was just in so much pain. And I loaned her a thermophore, which is actually an electric fomentation that you can buy online.
It's like an electric heating pack,
uh-huh,
if you will,
like
right?
Only it's a moist heat. It's very penetrating. And I told her to put that on for 10 or 15 minutes, then take ice and rub after it. And repeat that back and forth two or three times to get the most benefit from it. That night, it had helped so much that she ordered a thermophore because it was so helpful to her.
Yeah, and so for those of you hearing this stuff for the first time, I mean, the general principle of a contrast treatment is a period of hot. And one of the more traditional treatments would be like 3 to 5 minutes of hot, followed by 30 seconds to a minute of cold. And as you heard, our nursing directors here at Weimar telling us about how they've used this in infectious diseases, how they've used it for pain. We've, of course, also used it with neuropathy, so diabetic neuropathy or nerve problems related to diabetes. So there's far-reaching applications. And now we've got a school that's kind of restoring this lost art. And I find it interesting, as I travel throughout Indian country, I know many tribes use forms of heat administration, whether it's something that may be involved with their ceremonies in a sweat lodge, whether it's some other type of heating treatment. I know this is across North America, something that's been used for centuries. So let me ask you the big question. I mean, the program, is it already started or is it just about to start as we're recording this in August of 2015?
We are starting August 18 with our first class.
Was it hard to find people, or do you got a full class?
We have pretty much a full class, almost there with what we've been approved for this coming year.
Okay, so you got a full class. So someone hearing the show shouldn't get on the phone and try to get right over and fill in the missing slots. Okay, so when are you going to be accepting more students?
Really at the beginning of this next academic or calendar year, we'll start accepting applications for 2016.
Okay, so you've got another class that starts August of 2016, and applications can start coming in January of 2016. How would someone get a hold of folks at Weimar?
530-422-7999 is our direct line to the department.
Okay, let me see if I got this down. 530 is the area code.
422-7999.
Okay, I think I've got that. Is there a website if someone wants more information?
Weimar.edu.
Simply Weimar. That's W-E-I-M-A-R.
Correct.
.edu.
And go to academics, and there'll be a tab there for programs, and there'll be nursing program.
Okay, Lenora, you've got this vast background in nursing administration. Was this kind of a step down for you to go to a smaller, fledgling program?
You know, I don't know if anyone else would think that. I certainly don't think that. It's a dream of my life to have a nursing program like this. I'm very excited to be at Weimar. I'm so thankful for the knowledge of the people that are there that I'm learning from. Melanie has been employed by the New START program, which teaches health principles, and she also has been employed by the Depression Recovery program. And the Depression Recovery is a wonderful program.
We've got to talk about that. So we've featured Depression Recovery on the show before, but I'd love to have some more folks, either from Weimar or Dr. Nedley, who started the program, join us as we're recording here at ASI. But believe it or not, our time has just about slipped away. For someone listening in today who's wondering about nursing, Melanie, any final thoughts for us?
If you're looking for a program that is unique and different and allows you to empower your community and yourself, your family, this is the program. This is the program to be in. You can really impact people, not just physical, mental, spiritual, and for eternity.
Tremendous. Any final words, Lenora?
You know, our students get such good attention as well. We have faculty that are so interested in their success, and they will work closely with the students. So it's a program where there's close teacher-student contact.
Tremendous, tremendous. Again, it's weimar.edu. the number 530-422-7999. Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing what's happening at Weimar and their new School of Nursing.
Thank you, Dr. Derez.
Thank you.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
My name is Florence AQ. For lunch today, I had grilled chicken and squash. I am Zuni Indian, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
My name is D. Dakota Denesosi. I turned the TV off and took my nieces and nephews for a walk. We saw two jackrabbits, an eagle, and zero cartoons. I'm from the Dene Nation, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
Science has proven that if we lose as little as 10 pounds by walking briskly for 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and make healthier food choices, we can prevent diabetes.
My name is Barbara Akisakpa Curtis. I'm losing weight and being more active. I am Alaskan Inupiaq Eskimo, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
For more information on how to prevent diabetes, talk to your health care provider. For free materials, call the National Diabetes Education Program at 1-800-438-5383 and ask for the power to prevent diabetes. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Sitting across from me right now is someone who, I mean, I've just got to begin by thanking you, Monty Church. Thank you actually for hosting us here at the ASI venue.
Well, we're so happy you're here. We appreciate so much the background that you give our native work everywhere.
Well, Monty, you have been working for many years in the Pacific Northwest. You've actually put together a very beautiful booth area here in the exhibit hall. And I'll tell you, I may be a little bit biased, but I think just about anyone who comes in would say that this Native Ministries booth area is one of the most memorable in this whole exhibit hall. What would someone see if they walked in? Of course, on radio, we can't show them what we're looking at.
Well, an 18-foot teepee.
Okay.
And teepee from the Northwest area here. And we have it simply decorated in Native style. And we use it in camp meetings and other conventions like this. It's quite an attraction.
It really is. I can see people, I mean, people can't help but stop and look. And one of the interesting things to me, Monty, is even though you've got, close ties here in the Northwest, you actually were you raised on a reservation in the Great Lakes area?
Yes, that's correct. I was raised not far from Green Bay.
Okay.
The Menominee Indian Reservation. Mm-hmm. And until I was 16, 17 years old.
Okay. And then your family came out to the Northwest. Do I remember your background correctly?
That's right. And then we moved to Oregon. And this is where I've been ever since, in and out, you know, going to school and back.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous. And I know you've been doing a lot of work. I'll just be honest with you. I travel a fair amount in Indian country. I think last year I was in Minnesota. Earlier this year I was in Alaska. And someone's name always comes up, and it's Monty Church. Do you know Monty Church? Do you know Monty? You've been all over Indian country doing a lot with educating First Nation peoples, right?
That's correct. And I did an itinerant ministry, you know, evangelistic meetings, things like this. This gets you acquainted with the area as mm-hmm. well as churches. And then we have the television program, mm-hmm. Native New Day. And, of course, like they say, you're nothing until you're on TV. Everybody knows who you are, uh-huh. even though we're just little people just like everybody else.
But it's an amazing show. We should talk about that because many people, you're right, Monty, know you from Native New Day. And you've got a new series out. Am I correct? Native New Life, is that right?
Precisely. It's called Native New Life, and it's a series, a 13-episode series. It's a quarter mm-hmm. in television time of how do you maintain a Christian experience after you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Mm-hmm. And all of us run into problems. You know, evil powers are out there, and it's really hard to keep your faith when things are so discouraging around you. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you relate to this? How do you let the Lord lead you through these things?
So a lot of people, as we're talking together, if they haven't heard your name, they immediately realize, well, here's someone who's happens to be a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. But when I listen to your shows, because I've had the privilege of watching some of your television programming, it seems like you're just sharing stories from Native culture, and you're helping people, whether they're First Nation background or not, say, you know, Christianity, it may have been misrepresented in the way people have treated First Nation peoples, but the Christian principles are really the same principles that many Native American tribes have held dear throughout history, right?
That's right. You know, it's important that we understand culture. I really believe that certain things about culture are God-given.
Hmm.
And this is why I may be different than you. But that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
It's just the way I was raised and the values, somewhat, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the end, it achieves the same thing.
Okay.
And so what I've discovered is Christianity doesn't change a person's culture. It enhances it when you understand correctly the reasons for the Christian principles that God's given us.
So let's illustrate this to someone listening right now. I mean, I've got a lot of listeners. I'll just be honest with you, Monty. Some of whom, when they start hearing about Christianity, if they haven't already turned the dial, they're tempted to. I want you to speak to them about some of the practical principles that you see in Christianity that would help someone, whether they're a Christian or not, just share with us a principle that someone might be able to apply that would make a difference in their family or in their work experience. Does something immediately come to mind along those lines?
Oh, absolutely. I think the big thing is this. In the minds of Native people, in the minds of Native culture, true religion or spirituality mm-hmm. is how you treat each other.
Hmm.
Well, really, all you have to do is look in the Bible and you'll find all the way through that that's what Christianity is about, too, mm-hmm. because it's not natural to treat people kindly or to help them because, you know, we're all weak, we're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when a culture steps out or a person steps out to help someone, it's because God leads them. And, you know, a lot of people say, I don't want anything to do with God. Well, God will lead any person. And, you know, the Bible even talks about that even those who don't even know are led by the Holy Spirit if they'll let them lead. And so, and this is an area where only God is the judge. But, you know, God leads us all, and He leads through cultures. There's just so many things about the Native culture that I wish Anglo people understood when it comes to the principles of Christianity, how you treat each other, taking care of each other, watching out for each other.
So what I hear you saying is some of the folks listening who may feel that they may even feel somewhat of an antagonistic attitude toward Christianity. If I'm reading between the lines correctly, you're saying you know what, you might feel that way because in some sense of the word, you're a better Christian than some of the people that claim to be Christians.
That's right. Just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's an open mind. It's a heart that's wanting what is right and what is good.
Mm-hmm. And as you travel throughout Indian country, you're not just teaching about biblical subjects. You do a lot of practical things to help people. I know one of the things that has been, at least from my experience, seems to be close to your heart is actually helping people with physical needs, building things. Where does that all come from?
Well, I think that all of us come from a different angle because of the way we've been raised. My grandfather on the reservation was a master carpenter.
Okay.
My dad was a carpenter.
Okay.
I was raised pulling nails out of logs in wood, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so that's all I've ever known. And carpentry is very easy for me.
Okay.
And so I guess this is one reason why I've always ended up building churches or building parsonages or things like this. I enjoy it. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways that you give to communities.
Well, yes. But that's a small part. But I think everyone has talents and abilities that they grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
This year we are just finishing building 3 new churches.
Wow.
Just native churches, Indian churches. And what we term a native church is where the membership is more than 50% native.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where all have you been doing those projects?
Well, basically, for several years I did all of Canada and the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
But the work has grown so big that we've needed someone else, and my co-partner Ed Dunn, he is overseeing Canada now, which has really taken a load off of me. And I just have the Northwest, which is Oregon, Washington, Montana, Idaho, and Alaska.
Still a pretty big territory.
Yeah, a lot of travel, and we have 13 native churches that we oversee. That are alive and well and a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about another practical aspect to the work you've done over the years, and that is something you just touched on, and that is one of the things that you mentioned is everyone has talents and abilities. You've worked a lot with youth and young people over the years. We've got many people who tune in. There's some people who are young age, wondering about career choices in the future. Do you have some insights for them that could help them?
Well, my main job I have is we call it headhunting. In other words, hiring people. Because basically we got hundreds of pastors, and when they retire or something happens or they move, we've got to fill those slots again. And so my job has been through the years, the last 20 years, working with seminaries and colleges and young people, kind of working with the younger generation. And after all, you kind of learn which ones will be a success and which ones probably struggle in the lines of work that I'm talking about.
So you're helping people get connected with spiritual lines of opportunity, if they want to be in a pastoral role or a teaching role, perhaps?
Exactly.
Very good. Monty, I know you've got a wealth of experience. I'm hoping you can stay by for our next segment of American Indian Living. Are you able to do that?
I think that will work.
Okay. We got to slip away just for a couple of minutes. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're recording in the Convention Center in Spokane, Washington. You're listening to Dr. David DeRose. Across from me, Monty Church. We'll be back with more on today's edition of American Indian Living. Don't go away. We've got a lot more exciting material coming up in our next half of today's show.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
I'm Karen, and two very important people in my life, my husband and my father, have been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, or AFib, is a type of irregular heartbeat. People with AFib are 5 times more likely to have a stroke than people without AFib. Talk with a healthcare professional today about your risk. and learn how to manage AFib to prevent a stroke. Visit stroke.org/AFib to learn more.
Did you know that 63% of homes contain allergens from cockroaches? And that mice spread potent asthma triggers found in 82% of homes? It's true. Common household pests are major offenders on the list of indoor allergens. Learn what you can do to help your family breathe easier. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living here in Spokane, Washington. The convention center is the venue, if you can appreciate the ambiance here. I've got Monty Church, who's graciously stayed by to join me for another segment. Monty, it's great to have you with us again.
My pleasure.
Monty, one of the things that gets people excited when they hear your name, if they've seen your programming, Native New Day, now Native New Life, tell us why you're so excited about Native New Life.
Well, you know, it's one thing to accept Christ as your Savior. It's another thing to maintain a Christian experience, staying close to Him, because there's so many things to discourage us, to set us back, or to give up on life, or make us feel like we're not worthy of being loved. And that's what the devil does. And we need to understand what our part is to where the Lord can keep us close to Him through these hard times.
And what's exciting about your programming, I don't think I've seen a segment of Native New Life. I've seen some of Native New Day. But I know when people in Indian country watch those shows, they say, here's a Native American presenter, Monty Church, and he's speaking about our culture. It's not something that's foreign when they listen to it. Is that what you typically hear?
Yes, and I think they appreciate the low-key approach. You know, we don't have to talk down to people to explain to them what's right.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, the Lord says, let every man be persuaded in their own mind. And, you know, Native people, the culture is such to where when people talk down to you, you feel degraded. And, you know, everybody has a mind.
Right.
And to reason and to make up their decisions of what way they're going to live and walk.
The other great thing about your show, it's not a sterile show. You're not sitting, you know, in front of a camera, but you're out on site and you're interacting with things in nature. Is that Native New Life? Is that kind of the same approach?
Yes, and yes, very much. It's the same way. Like, for example, the first one that we did, and be coming out soon, is we're out in the Death Valley in California. And the idea is, has your Christian experience become a Death Valley experience?
Wow.
You know? And what do you do to maintain it? You know? There's so many people that aren't really experiencing the real joy that God wants them to. They're always concerned about, am I good enough? You know, the Lord's taking care of that. And that's what these videos or these films illustrate and explain and teach.
The other thing that I like about what you're doing is, of course, you're coming from a Christian perspective, but you're talking about principles that apply to people. If someone says, listen, I'm from a traditional Native perspective, I'm not into Christianity, that's foreign to me. But if they listen to what you're talking about, a lot of them are nodding their heads because they're saying, yeah, I may not identify with the Christian worldview, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Well, Christianity and genuine Native culture, talking about the ethics and the way Native people think, are really in sync with each other when you understand it correctly. And, you know, there are many things about Native culture that the white man could learn from.
No question.
You know, and I think things like family. I think of things like discipline of children. I just think about the way that we watch out for others. It's not just the idea that if I watch out for others, they're going to watch out for me. Mm. It's a survival type of mentality. But really, to be a genuine Native person with a Native culture, you're watching out for others because they're human. They're people that are just as important as I am or you are. And this sometimes you don't always see in the Anglo culture.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, so many people are just focused on looking out for themselves, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and, you know, it's very easy to grow up that way, so it's not like they're purposely being bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate the culture I was raised in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we may not have liked the person, we're still there if they need me.
That's a powerful concept, powerful. So tell us some of the other kind of lessons that you unpack in either Native New Day or Native New Life, where we could just, someone who's never seen the series, Native New Day, someone who's not seen any of the episodes of Native New Life, what other practical lessons can you share with us on today's show?
Well, the basic premise, the bottom line on which the basis of all the teachings or what we're trying to bring across is the biblical principle is this, that as human beings, we're weak. We're twisted, if you please. It's not that we're mean or bad people. It's just that through generations, the human mind, and not only physically, but mentally and spiritually, has become weak. And we've inherited that. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. We were born this way because of grandparents, great-grandparents, all the way back. And so we're a weakened specimen of creation. And this is why we need God's help. And the principle is this, letting the Holy Spirit lead us, conscience, the Lord speaking to us. You know, I think about the best, the most productive, successful alcohol deliverance program or addictions, overcoming addictions that's put out by the British Columbia of Canada is called Let Only the Good Spirit Guide You.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these are their posters. They're everywhere.
Huh.
In other words, you know, Native people understand something, and that is just that there is a spirit world out there. There's a good spirit world. There's a bad spirit world. Listen, I know there's a bad spirit world, and the reason I know this, I've seen people being picked up and thrown across the room with unseen hands. I've seen people picked up and slammed to the floor, you know, without seeing anybody doing it. You know that there's an evil power out there. Well, you know, when you see these things, you realize if there's an evil power out there, there's got to be a good.
Okay.
You know, and the idea is this of letting the good spirit guide you. And it's not a wild-eyed, high screaming or, you know, scary type of thing at all. It's a very quiet, still voice. And the Lord says if we'll open up our heart and every day say, God, please lead me, help me, we'll get direction. Our minds will receive direction, right attitudes, right ways and perspectives of looking at things. This is what we're trying to get across, because when you get into that mode of letting the Holy Spirit lead you, the sky's the limit.
Well, I think that's what's exciting, Monty, about what you're doing, because even if someone says, well, I don't, you know, this Bible stuff, that's not where I come from, what you're doing is you're bringing hope in Indian country, and you're really connecting people with Native values. You do it, granted, from a Christian perspective, but the principles, like you've been sharing, I mean, they speak across tribal lines, and people say, you know what, just like you're sharing, this is what I grew up with on the res. This is what, you know, my parents told me. And so I know why that's one of the reasons why your programs resonate with so many people. And when I'm traveling around Indian country, again and again, I hear the name of Monty Church and people's, you know, appreciation for what you've been doing. I know something else that you've been interested in over the years, and that is quality materials. I know one of the projects you've been working with recently is a magazine. You've got it represented here. at the booth here in this convention center. It has the same name as the radio show, American Indian Living. What's exciting to you about that resource?
Well, you know, you can't do everything. I'm just glad that there's people out there that feel the same way. And I'm just so glad for the production of the American Indian Life. And the reason is because it helps people to understand that right doing or right spirituality or right living, the health principle is a very big thing. And, you know, so many of us, you know, diabetes, you know, we're 10 to 1, you know, and suicide, all these things. You know, we've got some unfortunate lifestyles that have developed for many reasons. But I'm glad that we're focusing on this because, you know, when we're really letting the Lord lead us, we're going to want our minds to be as sharp as they can so we can listen to that still small voice leading us. You know, it's not the idea of just living healthier and happier and stronger and joyfully. It's not just that. It's being alert, you know, tuned in. But if your mind is on drugs, if your mind is on booze, you know, and you know, there's something I'd like to bring out here that I totally believe.
Tell us.
And that is this, the doorway for the evil powers of this earth. We choose to open it when we do things like drinking, drugging, pornography, violent films and things like this. When we do this, what we do, we open up our mind to say, hey, you know, these things I know aren't right, or these things just destroy, but I'm opening my mind anyway. You know what that does in principle? It really opens up the work of satanic demons and forces to come in to subtly take us out. And that's what this Native New Life is about, understanding it. But what do you do about it, you know? And how do you build a strong relationship with the work of the Great Spirit?
Wonderful. Monty, there are some folks, they're hearing about your programming for the first time. Is there a website? Is there some place where they can access some of the programming?
That's right. Just look at Native New Day.
Native New Day.
Native New Day. We don't have a Native New Life yet, but it will also talk about Native New Life.
So just go into a search engine, put Native New Day?
That's
or is it. NativeNewDay.com or .org?
No, what it is Native Ministries Northwest.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But if I put a Native New Day into a search engine, it's going to pull it up.
Yes, you're going to get that too. And one thing will lead to another.
Okay, so we can get the programming there. I know there are a number of television networks that air your show. I know one of them is Safe TV. In fact, I think they've been helping produce the shows, right?
That's right. And the Hope Channel,
okay.
3ABN, has had it. And what's happened now, it's going all over the world, especially places like New Guinea.
Oh, really?
Yes, and Australia is huge.
Really?
Because we have our Aboriginal people down there.
Right, right, right.
It's huge.
Huh.
And now, for some reason, I don't know if I have the answer to this, but we're in Romania.
Amazing.
In Russia.
Amazing.
And Germany.
Really?
And so, you know, this thing has really gotten big. This year, it's going into France and Korea. And it was so funny, you see the films, and when I open my mouth, I'm speaking a different, somebody else is talking, you know. It's, yeah, it's an experience.
Well, great work, Monty. Our time for this segment has slipped away. We've got another guest waiting, actually, to come on board for our final segment, Steve Wolberg, with a new book, helping us in the times in which we live, dealing with health issues. Monty, thank you for the time you've taken.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Dr. DeRose and American Indian Living coming up with more in just a couple of minutes.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
What I say, you already know, but you don't believe. You won't accept, you don't conceive. When you're inside your car, you feel safest of all. Are you safe? Are you? 2 tons of sheet metal in your hands. 2 tons don't run on autopilot. You have a mission. It's no collision. Hold the phone. Don't text. You're angling to be next. Oh, you've done it before. What's the harm? Just this once, there's no alarm. Got your hands on the wheel? No big deal. Brothers and sisters, you won't see it coming. You're off the road. Your life explodes. It's not worth it. Don't do it. You only think there's nothing to it. Put it down. Hang up. Pay attention to highway action. Behind the wheel, there is no such thing as a small distraction. Join the conversation at DecideToDrive.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who would rather help keep your bones strong than put them back together.
We are here to say a word about cancer.
When you talk to someone who has been diagnosed with cancer,
be positive.
Be supportive.
That's it. Stop right there.
Don't start telling them about your Uncle Vern.
Or the next door neighbor.
Don't be grim.
Try not to disappear either.
Don't cross to the other side of the street.
Don't stop calling.
Don't cry.
Don't ever say, you're living my worst nightmare.
You know who you are.
Here's the important part.
Be positive.
Be positive.
Sé positivo.
Say these words.
You will do great.
Keep calling.
Check in.
Be a friend.
Or be a new friend.
Be a supportive.
Positive friend.
Smile.
Try not to be afraid.
Or act afraid.
Fear is not useful.
Be a funny, hopeful human being.
If you come across cancer,
let it transform you into your most positive self.
And inspire.
Urge.
Fortify.
Rally.
Encourage someone to do great.
This message brought to you by Cancer Survivors.
For more information, to hear stories, or share your own, visit DoGreatCampaign.com. Do great. You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We've got another great guest here in this venue, the Convention Center in Spokane, Washington. Across from me now is Steve Wolberg. Steve is the speaker director of White Horse Media. He's also the author of a new book called End Times Health War. Steve, it's great to have you with us.
Yes, thank you, David. It's a privilege to be on this program. This is a first for me, but we've known each other for quite a while.
We have.
So thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the program. And this is, just an exciting subject, End Times Health War. In a nutshell, what is this book all about?
This book is about, it has many different dimensions. Mm-hmm. The title is based upon the fact that a lot of people feel that we are living in apocalyptic times. They look around the world, they see all the problems that are just happening on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And people realize something big is going down. And it is on many fronts, but one of those fronts is health. And the book basically deals with people's health issues, their struggles, their problems, cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, and just a whole host of things that people are struggling with. And it deals with these common problems and struggles and issues in the context of war, that we are in a war for our bodies, and that if we are going to be healthy, if we're going to survive the onslaught of the diseases that are just rampant, we have to look at it as war, and we have to make some very aggressive and practical decisions to implement some weapons that will help us to survive, such as simply drinking more water.
Okay.
And putting one foot in front of the other and walking or exercising, eating more fruits and vegetables,
okay,
getting a good night's sleep. Some of the things that are just so basic, but they are presented in this book in the context of, again, of war and weapons, that if people would implement some simple steps to improve their health, they can save themselves a lot of money, a lot of suffering, and they can potentially save their lives. And the book actually starts out with a very personal experience that my family, me and my wife, had when our little boy, Seth, who's now 11, mm-hmm. was 3 years old.
Wow.
He started convulsing and having seizures.
I mean, he literally was having grand mal seizures?
He was. And he had a number of them. We had numerous tests done. We had an MRI done. We had EKG. And it's not an EKG. It's an EEG.
Right.
And we had a whole host of tests done. And really, the doctors, basically the neurologists, finally concluded that he has a form of epilepsy. And there's really not much you can do about it except put him on medication.
Hmm.
So we had him on medication for about a year and a half, and then he started having more seizures.
Wow.
And we were told to increase the medication, which we did, and then he had more seizures, and we were told to increase the medication. And finally, that brought me as a father to the crossroads, and I started praying.
Hmm.
I prayed to God very earnestly to help me to know what was going on with my son. And then we finally, I believe this was providential, it wasn't by chance, we found a physician who's a graduate from Loma Linda, and his field, he's an MD, and his field of expertise is clinical toxicology.
So tell us what that means in plain English.
Clinical toxicology has to do with toxins in the
mm-hmm.
environment, chemicals and pollutions, and especially things like heavy metals like mercury, lead, cadmium.
Okay.
And so what Dr. John Mundall did, who practices in the Spokane, Washington area, he has a clinic called Liberty Clinic. He tested Seth, which nobody had ever done.
Mm-hmm.
He tested his hair, his blood, his urine, sent the samples to the lab, and the lab results came back that Seth was loaded with heavy metals.
Wow.
He was very elevated in lead.
Huh.
And a whole host of different metals, and he was just a little boy.
Any idea where he got those?
Well, we finally came to the conclusion as a result of a lot of research that he got it from living on planet Earth in the year 2007, whichever the year was that when we really had the test done. And,
huh.
and the more I've researched this, I found out that there are so many chemicals in our environment, whether it's the food, the water, the soil,
uh-huh.
The carpet. I mean, the list just goes on and on. We're all exposed.
So it wasn't like he was in a high-risk setting. It wasn't like he was playing with old batteries or eating lead paint.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't licking paint off the wall.
Uh-huh.
We can't really pinpoint anything.
Wow.
But evidently his body was sensitive or whatever. We don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is Dr. Mundall initiated a protocol of detoxifying him from these heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was, in a very short time, it changed his brain patterns.
Wow.
His EEG changed.
Really?
Yes. In a
short
time.
And the seizures went away?
Well, not at first, but the diagnosis was reversed of epilepsy.
Huh.
That was reversed in 4 months.
Really?
Because his brain patterns had improved so significantly. And then we took him off the medication. As he was withdrawing from the medication, he did have some seizures. Then Dr. Mundall said, hold the line. Don't go back. The body will work this out. And
mm-hmm.
so after, as the months wore on, the seizures became farther and farther apart.
Wow.
And I'm happy to say that right now he's running around here at the convention visiting the exhibits. He just turned 11.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't had a seizure in close to 2 years.
Wonderful.
He's totally medication free.
Tremendous.
And his life has changed. And so that story is the kickoff for the book. When I looked at my son and the more I studied this, I realized that we're at war.
Hmm.
That there are forces, chemicals, heavy metals, toxins in the environment that are at war with our bodies, at war with our health. And in order for us to make progress in some of these areas, we need to aggressively practice certain health principles that will help the body to eliminate the toxins and will just strengthen the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really my son. Here's my little boy having seizures, and
mm-hmm.
I'm a father. I mm-hmm. love my son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what motivated me to do a lot of research
mm-hmm.
on this topic. And that's the book, End Times Health War, is the product of the struggles that my family has had with my little boy having seizures.
Wow. And so basically this book is going to encourage someone, if they've got concerns about their own health or family members' health, there are practical things in here that will make a difference?
Totally. It's so practical, and it reads like a novel. It just grips people's attention. One lady bought 20 copies, and then
really?
She gave them away and bought 20 more.
Wow.
And it's got a whole host of physicians that endorse the book, like Dr. Tim Arnott, who's a good friend of yours.
Sure,
he's got an endorsement.
Kevin Bryant is too, a good friend.
That's right,
he's on the cover
Kevin
here.
Bryant. And so basically, in a nutshell, it talks about war, talks about our bodies, talks about our health, and it talks about, as you know, what's something called the 8 laws of health, that the importance of nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance or self-control, fresh air, getting enough rest, and trust in God to build up the body, build up the immune system to fight back against the lifestyle diseases that are just killing people left and right. And then the book also goes into what I call a special ops, some more aggressive things that we can do, such as sprouting and juicing, juicing fresh raw fruits and vegetables. And I teach people how to sprout different kinds of sprouts in their home. It's very inexpensive, and to how to make yourself or let God grow a salad in your kitchen that's all raw. It's totally organic. There's no chemicals. It's very inexpensive. You can have a big salad that tastes delicious that gives your body a tremendous nutritional boost to help your immune system to fight disease.
Okay.
So that's what it deals with, the 8 laws of health and the additional special forces of sprouting, juicing. We even get into such things as wheatgrass, how to grow wheatgrass, how to juice it, and how to make it taste good. So there's a lot of just simple practical things in there that are very helpful to human beings if they really want to be healthier and strengthen their body to resist and fight diseases that are out to kill us.
Well, Steve, I mean, believe it or not, I have this challenge every time I do the show. I would love to go through a lot of the practical insights in the book, but our time's just about gone. How can someone get a copy of End Times Health War if they want it?
They can get it from the ministry that I work for. It's called White Horse Media. White Horse Media. It's available on our website, whitehorsemedia.com. We have a toll-free number, 800-782-4253. An easy way to remember it is 1-800-78-BIBLE. 1-800-78-BIBLE. They just figure out what the B represents and the I represents, and they'll get it. 78-BIBLE. They can call the ministry. It's not very expensive. We'll mail the book out. And it's very, very practical. It's just to me, it's cutting edge. We're living in apocalyptic times. People are dying on all sides. It's not the enemy is not just ISIS. It's not just the radical terrorists. It's not just the environmental things like fires that are happening now in California, my native state, and all the other things that are hitting this world. But the enemy has to do with habits that people are practicing every day they don't even think about that really are undermining their health.
Wow.
And there's viruses and pathogens and a whole host of things, and we need to fight. We need to make some practical decisions to increase our health. And it'll make a world of difference in someone's life. And this book is a survival manual. Now, it won't keep you alive for 300 years, but it very well could save your life now and keep you above ground for quite a bit longer.
Tremendous stuff. Steve Wohlberg, he's the speaker director of White Horse Media. His book, End Times Health War. And speaking about time ending, the time in today's show is gone. We've got to say goodbye from here in Spokane, Washington at the Convention Center, ASI 2015. I'm Dr. David DeRose, hoping that today's show, as always, has helped you to enjoy the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.